are listening to the Obscure Gentlemen, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to filtering pop culture through the eyes and ears of spiderwebs.
Spiderwebs.
I'm your host, Aaron A. Alvarez, and who might you be, young man?
I'm walking into spiderwebs.
That's Alex. A weird name. Walking into Joaquin.
Joaquin
into spiderwebs.
Yes.
So strange.
Alex Mitchell.
I guess we should just. I mean, should we start the show now?
Sure.
Do you think?
I think it's time to start the show.
No headless horsemen's attacking us.
No. No. Launch Haney seniors. Or juniors.
Or juniors, but maybe Lon Chaney the thirds.
Yes.
Maybe. I guess.
Yeah.
Antonio, take it away.
Back together again, eh? Let's play.
Listen to them. Children of the night. What music they make.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
I just can't. Take no pleasure in killing. Just some things you gotta do.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
It's alive! It's alive! It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!
I've got a friend. His name is Jason, and his girl friend has on 8 security cameras. He says, "You're my fucking bitch. You do what I tell you. It's been working for the past 2 years, and they collect data from our smartphones. Story of my life. Top video."
Top video.
I know what this is.
You know what this is?
Yep.
Because you saw.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you totally did.
No, I really didn't.
All right, well, we'll figure out if he's right or not.
Yeah, we'll figure out at the end. So, anyway, so we have some guests here for... our next movie, Talk Back, as we had promised.
Yes.
Joining us is founder and El Presidente and editor-in-chief, what have you, of The Obscure Gentleman.
The king of writer. The king of cartoons, you could say.
No, he's not here.
Oh.
Is your what's your name?
Jim, also known as Obscure Gent.
Okay. All right. So he's here again, and yes. Returning also... is the man from the Plane Zero podcast, the man who founded that. Mm-hmm. What is your name?
My name is Travis.
All right.
Just Travis.
Just Travis.
Just Travis.
No Kennedy. No Mr. Kennedy.
No Kennedy.
Okay.
What?
What? He's doing a wrestling
He's
thing.
He's doing a wrestling thing. Happening. I'm not doing a wrestling
And thing. Also joining us from 12 for a Penny fame and... prolific black metal band, Noctuary.
I'm also from 12 for a Penny.
And prolific
That's right.
black metal band.
And who might you be? You want to introduce yourself?
Joe.
There you go.
Joe!
We're all one single named entities. All
right.
So
much like an it.
A knit?
That follows.
Oh, an it.
Well,
so yeah,
and it. I thought a knit.
A knit. We're much like a knit.
I knew a man named Annette once from high school.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Yeah, his name was Annette.
Solid name.
Yeah. All right, so this week we watched It Follows, a newer horror film mm-hmm. that has been hyped and said to be a game changer and said to be a horror movie for the ages and like one of the best in the past decade.
I've heard that this is like it's seriously like one of the greatest horror films ever made.
I've been told by so many people
yeah.
that this movie is amazing.
Is it a game changer? Is in like when you're playing the game, you want to change it? Joey, can you add in a rim shot right there?
No, because I'm not editing this one.
We don't do that.
God damn it.
I do have a friend that said they watched it and literally fell asleep.
Literally fell asleep?
Yes. As in people say,
baby.
Oh.
Like a literal baby.
No, people say, like, oh, I fell asleep. This person said they actually fell asleep.
Not figuratively?
And woke up like 8 hours later.
Wait, okay, but how did, in what context did this change the game? Did people say how or why?
It's one of those things where that's tossed around saying that it's a fresh new take on how to handle horror movies.
What's special about it?
Is it
the fucking... The supernatural sex?
Is that original to horror movies? Like, is that original for horror movies?
It doesn't seem like it.
No, it does.
Guys, I'd like to point out also that this movie's still standing at a 96% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes out of 194 reviews.
That's crazy.
I would like to say that the public reviews are like a 65%.
Oh, but the public reviews are low.
Yeah.
Yeah, the IMDb reviews are like 6.9 right now. Yeah.
Well, that makes
sense. Metacritic is like 80%.
What do we talk about what this movie's about then?
Okay,
Sex. if we could be really basic here.
STDs.
It is about sex. It starts off with this guy who's seeing this girl.
He's got a nice Caesar haircut going.
Starts off with some real nice gams, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Like
floating in the wind.
And basically what happens is that as they're about to have sex, he basically takes the chloroform to her and then has sex.
Wait, you just totally skipped the first 20 minutes of this movie. That's the interesting thing, too.
It opens with a woman being murdered by some unknown assailant.
Okay.
But not only that, there's still like a lot of like exposition before you even get into the part that Alex is bringing up was actually where the movie started to kind of get interesting. Yeah,
that's
like,
the kind of.
But in regards to like a game changer, how is it a game changer when you're showing?
Well, we're gonna get
there's
to
a
that.
Girl running. Okay, you don't know what it is, and then she winds up dead.
It's that's like, not really like original,
it's
right?
It's fucking the same
well,
thing.
See, and well, let's say that the girl is. Her leg was basically, like, ripped the other way.
I mean, it was pretty gnarly, and it actually kind of gave you, like, the sense that this might be interesting.
There's a bit of dread going on.
Well, essentially, it's a bunch of teenagers running away from this sex ghost that...
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best way to put it. It's a sex ghost that...
Sex ghost goes to coast?
Yeah. Yes.
It will kill you if you don't have sex with someone else before... It's attached to you or something.
But before it has sex with you.
Yeah.
Because but, it does, It grinds you to death.
In the form of your parents.
In one case, yeah.
But okay. If it kills that person that you fucked, then it comes back to kill you.
This movie really lacked a gas station attendant who spits tobacco to tell the rules.
Yeah, they're really
at least warned.
Well, there was the boyfriend that told the... Well, he didn't really tell the rules. He just kind of explained
the
situation.
How did he figure it out?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question.
I'm assuming the person... Yeah, I mean, you'd think the first person that got the curse would be dead, and then it would be done.
Someone had to have fucked a ghost a long, long time ago, and that ghost had to have told them the rule. Like, right. I'm going to give you a day to fuck another dude or lady.
Yeah.
Or a curse was put on a person who fucked someone's daughter or something. See, if it was a normal, typical horror film, they would say
an ancient legacy and all that kind of thing.
Many years ago, we fucked the farmer's daughter or something like that.
The farmer's daughter.
Yeah, something like that.
You're acting like the farmer's daughter's pure, though. And it never is in these kind of stories.
Of all the things in this movie,
real life.
Though, that...
Yes. Thank you, Joey.
That I'm okay with. Like, that's the one thing I'm okay with, is not knowing where it started or where it comes from. That's fine. That's like one of the only things I'm okay
with. Yeah, you don't need to know, I guess. And for any horror movie, you don't necessarily need to know that part.
Yeah, it does ruin the movie when you go too much into the mythology.
Right. They explain too much and that's
bad. But it is interesting to know like how people are like, "Wait, I fucked that person and the ghost wants that person, so maybe if they fuck someone, you'll leave them alone."
See, the thing is,
you don't want the old man to say, "Oh, fuck that girl." No. You don't want like the story of
Here's the problem with this ghost, though. Eventually, people are already generations. People have died, so this ghost can only go so far back before the people who've had sex aren't even alive anymore.
Can I say you can kill this ghost? It seems.
No, you can maim it.
You can hurt it.
Yeah, you can shoot it in the head. It doesn't really die, just like it falls.
It's pronounced meme.
If you shoot it underwater, it blows up.
Yeah, and it turns into
a pool of blood.
Mist.
Yeah.
Can I just get like a head count here?
You can do whatever you want.
Who liked this movie?
Out of us?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
No, don't tell me here's the thing. Just say,
no.
Did you like
the
movie?
He can do
no,
that.
Right now, I just
no,
want a head count.
I didn't really like it, okay. But I... It's not as bad. I think it's much worse when you're sitting with five guys and you're making fun of it the whole time.
Yeah.
But if you're watching it alone, I think I could like it a little bit more or like understand how it could be a little frightening. You know what I mean?
It is one of those movies where you have to be in complete silence.
I do feel like the Babadook, though, we gave it its fair chance to be scary. And this
the thing is, we weren't like constantly talking during the Babadook.
Yeah, the Babadook stopped us.
Did the Babadook earn our respect? Did it scare us enough to where we say, okay, we should?
It did, because this just had from the get go. You're told these rules of this guy gets the girl, he has sex with her, chloroforms her, and tells you the rules of, hey, you gotta fuck this guy, you gotta have sex with this, pass it on. So you hear the rules, and the rules are, to me, are just like,
well, stupid. For me, shitty. Like that first scene that Alex was talking about, and where it starts, that was kind of scary, and I thought this movie was going to be good.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
From there,
I think for me, one of my biggest issues also at the very beginning, after the open with the girl who gets her leg like bent backwards.
Yeah.
But for me, like what made it really hard for me to get invested and pay attention to was I felt that like. Some of the acting at the very beginning, especially, seemed very stiff and very, like very wooden.
It's definitely bad acting.
Yeah, there was a lot. I mean, and it's understandable if it's a more independent film.
I mean, yeah, but it's
based on budget.
It's a nice-looking movie. Like, I
won't. Oh, yeah, look good.
Actually, when I asked if this was an independent film, it was because of the acting, specifically.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, the movie, the acting is a huge low point for it, but... I mean, I could understand why people like the aesthetic of it, at least.
It looks interesting.
Yeah, I think they filmed it well. And actually, especially that first scene with her in the chair, they had the camera attached to it. Yeah. That was a good technique. And they had some good like camera technique in it.
And Detroit kind of goes unused in these kinds of settings.
Well, I mean, the setting's almost like a character in this movie. I have no gripes when it comes to the way it was shot, or the setting, or anything like that. The problem is...
It's pronounced grapes.
I think it's just the premise doesn't work for me. No, it's not even,
the premise can work.
This one didn't work for me.
I think it's just the execution that's the problem. If we're going back to the Game Changer thing, though, this whole, like, throwback horror thing, it's not new. Ty West has been doing it with, like, House of the Devil or The Innkeepers. I mean, this is kind of the it thing right now in horror is to sort of do throwback to the 70s and 80s.
So it's like they're subtle horror films. Is that what you're saying?
The weird thing about this being a throwback to me, though, is that a very early scene was with that clamshell thing.
Yeah.
And it looked really like super sci-fi Star Trek-y.
Oh, okay, yeah. Can we?
But then everything else was like 70s, 80s, like the old cars.
That was the only thing.
That was the only thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Weird. I mean, I feel like... Were they trying to make a point with that?
I thought this was going to be like a futuristic film at first because I
thought so too. I thought it was in the future.
Yeah, and then nothing came about.
Then it looked like it was in the past.
Because I mean, it would have been interesting if they played with it like that whole like that disparity between the technology.
I was getting like a Black Mirror vibe, a little tiny Black Mirror vibe. And if you haven't seen Black Mirror, please check that out. It's amazing.
It's a pretty good show.
Yeah, and then like
it's a what?
Pretty good show.
Oh, it's a show.
It is a show. But like Joey said, it kind of didn't go anywhere with that. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, well. I mean, and then also with the throwback thing is, I mean, we commented on it a few times when we were watching the music itself. Mm. It's very late 70s, early 80s, that synth sort of horror music.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's pretty much like something that John Carpenter would do.
It reminded me actually a lot of Phantasm. Like, there's a lot of cues of Phantasm. But yeah, also Halloween, especially with... I mean, you have this slowly walking killer.
Yeah, Halloween, I could see that. Yeah, absolutely.
The thing where it's just dum-dum.
I mean, I did appreciate the music in terms of it knew when to stop.
It didn't overpower the film.
But then there was like a lot of dead air sometimes when it was just like...
It could have probably used a little bit more or atmosphere kind of background noise.
I think they just didn't know how to curtail that kind of music and ominous they already had into some of those scenes, because some of the scenes with the dead air, it's like, okay, well, now what do we put into this?
Yeah, the pacing was off, and then there were scenes
my Casio's like, only got Roomba, and I don't know,
ran out of batteries.
Yeah, the tempo can't be slowed down on this one.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the pacing was off at certain points of the movie, and
you said Roomba. I think you meant Ramba.
I was just thinking
Roomba is like one of those like little vacuum cleaners.
I was like, God damn it! I just did a plug for the Roomba.
I robot.
The scene that stands out to me is one that we pointed out while watching was, in terms of pacing, is you don't end a scene on like a almost like a question cliffhanger where a character asks like, "Hey, remember when we were like our first kiss?"
Yeah,
and then it just cuts to a completely unrelated scene.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, really?
Thinking like, and then
it looked like a flashback was about to happen.
Really? Yeah. And then it wasn't.
He could have just said, hey, why don't we go to the pool and try to shock it? Because earlier in the movie, we were watching a movie where they referenced, let's shock the monster.
I looked up IMDb.
Yeah, I mean.
And also the other segue where they're playing that naming game, and I know Alex thinks it was okay, but like it was a little jarring of they're in line talking, and all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. Who do you want? Who would you be?
Who would you be? And they're in
line. They're looking at a bunch of different people.
They're looking at different people and in line to buy tickets, and then all of a sudden she's answering who she thinks he would be, but
like basically right, she's directly answering his question right after he decided he chose who he wanted to be, and then all of a sudden they're in a different place.
And what that does with at least with the editing is it gives you like this bridge of time where it's like in your mind you're thinking like so like she was silent for probably about like 5 minutes.
Yeah, like he told her shut the fuck up and buy tickets. I gotta focus.
And then but like
really fast.
It also happened to work out that the people that he looked at outside were also inside at the same time. Like not in the theater, not in the bathroom.
This did set up the It Follows, as we called it consistently.
Yeah, they're okay. That
also his answer kind of sets up too. Looking back at it. Because he wanted to be a kid, the idea of having your whole life ahead of you.
Right.
Because he was already marked.
He already knew.
That's true.
Yeah. And unless you're some
buster.
Unless you're Mark some special kind of kid, you're not really fucking so.
But one of the interesting things, though, is the monster, I think. I mean, that I think that concept
is... It's cool.
It's a play on the...
Like, it's a fuck beast.
It is. It's a gnarly fuck
like
beast.
Like Blackie Lawless my, fucks like a beast.
Yeah. My dad is a fuck beast.
That's a good album.
Well, there we go.
My Dad is a Fuck Beast is my favorite Wasp album.
There you go.
It is a play up on like Jason Voorhees when teens are having sex, they're gonna get a machete through them.
Yeah,
I mean that.
And this one did take. And it's almost like the more we talk about, the more I'm like, yeah, okay.
It was more interesting looking back on it. I think it's just because we're literally coming off of just watching it that I feel like it wasn't that compelling to me.
It wasn't scary. It was interesting.
No. Yeah.
I mean, there was some imagery, like the scariest imagery in this movie. Well, there's two bits. There's this giant hulking man.
Yeah, the 7'7"
with
dude.
With the dad
7
dude.
Foot, 7 inch. 7 inch, 7 foot dude.
It's a big dude. It's like he's a big guy.
For you.
Sure. But yeah, there's this giant beast of a guy with like black eyes. And then there's this other It Follows creature or whatever. That it's a young lady who looks like she's been raped and her teeth are busted out and she's pissing and bleeding all over
that
herself.
That was the one I didn't like because I like the subtlety of all of them just looking like normal people.
But I wouldn't say they all kind of look dead in a way.
Yeah, they did.
Right?
Yeah. They did. But and sure, most of them had a
but they weren't bleeding. Hanging out. Yeah, right.
But yeah, but the piss and the blood, it just
that was like, weird.
That's
a little gratuitous.
The piss was extra.
Yeah.
Yeah. The execution of the creature was or whatever this was.
They call it it.
Yeah.
They call it it.
Yeah.
Yeah. An it.
The only part that I felt wasn't executed well was when they're at the beach and they could have done it another way, but when her hair is just sticking up, that was just hilarious.
Yeah, when the it is like not visible and it's throwing shit, it looks silly.
You see a hair dryer and it's like
Was anyone scared?
No.
No.
No, but I think like going back to that first scene where he explains to her the situation and she's in the chair, you kind of get that sense and you can like that you can be. But then it just kind of just doesn't build it up.
It has the potential to be creepy where like I was a little creeped out where it's like, okay, you see people walking towards you. Like even when the tall guy was there, it was a little creepy, but only a little creepy. It wasn't like Babadook where you're just like, oh, fuck. Well, like you see an ominous thing standing in the background.
Right. Yeah.
This, it had that potential. It just didn't.
It goes back to the whole execution thing.
I also think another part that pretty much kills it is the actor's reaction or their fear isn't believable.
No. Right.
Like, the whole time she's running from these things, it didn't seem like she was actually scared. It just seemed like she was running, and then she would stop and, like, think.
There was also... That's on the part of, like, how it's written or how it's directed. It's like, where's her sense of urgency? Like, throughout most of the movie, unless the thing is visibly present to her...
It's the it.
She... Yes. she seems not like she doesn't think it's that important.
Like when she was sleeping on the car.
Yeah, it's like, why aren't you fucking?
Yeah, exactly. That's all you should be doing.
No, it's as the scene that really just her house just got broken into. This was the first scene where she really encountered this It Follows or whatever, and she runs away. And she goes onto a swing and just sits there.
And waiting for her friends to show up or whatever.
Like, yeah, yeah, an empty playground out in the open.
At night, like, in the dark.
She was never
with no one to fuck in sight.
Exactly.
That's true.
She was never panicky. Well, she was only panicky when she saw the whatever it was, but it was really weird.
Like you said, out of sight, out of mind. Like, once it was gone, it's like she kind of just relaxed.
Yeah. All right, we're good.
Yeah, exactly.
Think about it. Like, what makes good chases in horror films? Okay, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
Okay.
Never heard of
that. That's a horrifying chase.
When Marilyn Burns
they killed a bunch of chainsaws?
Oh, my God.
That's sad.
When Marilyn Burns is running from Leatherface.
Yeah. That's scary.
It's panic and terror constantly.
Because you're hearing the sounds going. She's screaming her head off.
Even when she's far, running far away from him, she's still scared.
Yeah.
This girl, when she is finally away, she's just like, there's no moment of like catching her breath. It's just like,
oh. I didn't feel urgent at all. I felt like,
okay. It was very indie in the sense of like the emotion was minimal. And all of a sudden, instead of running, it's just like, all right, let's cut to them all sitting in the car looking tired.
I think that's what may have messed with the film, was that the director still wanted that sense of it being an indie mumblecore movie. And that's what it kind of is, mumblecore horror, if you could call it that.
It's definitely like, it's really trying to go for getting like, it's hipster indie cred.
Yeah, like, but that fucked up the tone of the movie.
Completely.
And the people agree because they don't like it as much as the critics.
I mean, and that's the thing. If you want a movie where people are acting somber like that or being quiet, it has to match what the threat is. It has to match what is actually happening. This is just like this. It's this barrier. But yes. But that is the... I think that...
Exactly.
The bad acting on top of everyone not giving a shit about what's happening in this world.
And that's the thing, too. I felt like the friends, like... Like, the friends didn't care, really. It seemed like they sort of did, but it's like, at the end of the day, if she dies, it's like, well,
who did it? Even after they saw her hair just floating in the air, and
what's
the
happening? One dude
just got knocked away and flew.
Which was awesome.
It was a Snickers commercial.
Yeah, and they were just like, like, still, yeah, there was no sense of panic, no sense of urgency.
Because none of us fucked her, who cares?
The reactions were all wrong.
That's true.
Think about it. Think about it. None of those
we're being honest.
None of those people had some sexual interaction with this person or anyone in that group. So if she dies, it's kind of like, well.
Okay. It's kind of like, yeah, if any of us. I never fucked any of you guys. And if any of you guys dies right in front of me, it's like, well, yeah. I never fucked you.
I mean, so I'm not going to. I'm all good.
Yeah, it's like, well, I never fucked you. So.
If that she takes dies, away. She dies.
Yes. Yeah.
That's true.
And that's the thing.
That takes away from the whole, like, the group scenario where. The group is getting, like, you know, knocked off one by one. It's, yeah. And to me, well, that's something I like to see.
It also goes to the... it goes to the whole bit of the editing, like, also ruining shit, too. Because, like, when you do have these moments of tension, there is a quick cut to all of a sudden them acting like they're at a middle school dance.
Yeah.
And they're all just staring at the ground, like, just, what are we going to do now?
They're being awkward. Well,
and it's, like, it's weird, because I'll give an example of another mumblecore horror film, which is the movie You're Next.
Yeah. Are you serious?
No.
That movie. But that movie is very different. There's a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Because I want to watch that.
No, it doesn't. I'm using it as an example of
a good way
that falls into
okay,
that.
Okay.
That's actually good.
Okay. How to do it right.
Okay, good.
Yeah, like, it's just the editing really killed so many chances of this movie being something special. The editing, the acting,
the lack of emotion, and I blame the director for that. Of just they just acted like someone broke up with them or someone tried to commit suicide, like every other indie mumblecore movie.
I mean, and to go back to like one of the movies that sort of helped breed this whole genre.
When Fires Breed Blood. Shout out to Noctuary.
Yes.
There's a scene in Juno, the movie Juno, where she announces that she's pregnant, and the parents react very like, "Oh, okay. Well, what are you gonna do?" It's like, what the?
There's like no real like real life reaction.
It's like you got to keep up the tempo or something.
It's like the movie the movie needs. These movies need to be elevator music the whole time. It's Muzak. These movies are the living embodiment of Muzak.
unexciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like no real life reactions, no dynamics. It's just the same flat.
Yeah, and so I mean, like even when the like they find that her ex or whatever, and he's talking, he seems mad, but he's also seems very.
He had the most emotion out of all of them.
Yeah, but he did. He at least seemed to care.
But he had a silent rage instead.
But then it's also like, because like at least the one scene where someone walks by, he's like, anyone else see that? Like he actually tried to.
Yeah. I think it's because he didn't want to go back to that house where he was masturbating to 1970s magazines that don't exist. And didn't clean up
his tissues.
Yeah, load tissues everywhere. Like,
even
that's a load bearing tissue.
That's a load. Yeah, those are high quality.
Like, even the fuck death scene where the guy gets fucked by his mom to death.
See, someone who's really into the taboo stuff probably is excited right now.
It's not
getting it while it's not. It's just. But what goes through the thought process of the ghost, monster, it, whatever it is?
Yeah.
Where it's like, all right, I'm going to pretend I'm this dude's mom, but my titty's hanging out. All right.
Wouldn't that just make you close the door faster? Like, oh, okay.
Well, not him. He just looked and was like, what the fuck? Yeah, what the fuck? And then
she pounced.
And then she rubbed her ghost vagina on
him. ghost can't go through doors.
And then strobe lights started flickering for some reason. Yeah.
That really confused me. When he opened the door, I thought there was going to be some sort of weird iPad or something.
it turned into like a spooky haunted house with the strobe lights.
Yeah.
And the skeleton, it's like,
you're walking through the haunted house, Aaron, and you see that. You're like, oh, wow. But we got to keep moving because the line is moving. We got to keep going.
Dry humping that dude.
And you're like, well, that's scary. But let's go see that room.
And what didn't make sense, which you brought up during the movie, was... There's a naked dude with a man bush and a dad dong standing on top of the roof. How did he get up on the roof and go through the door?
The rules of this creature made no sense to me sometimes. It was just like, so
a lot of people say like, oh, you know, it doesn't need rules. You don't need explanation. It's like, come on.
I'll give you the explanation for dad dong on the roof. They just thought it would make a cool shot, like a scary shot. And that's
I think that's what a lot of this movie was. The director just was like, What would be a cool aesthetic for me? So down to the way everyone spoke, down to the way everything was shot.
Right.
It wasn't about making a really good
cohesive.
Yeah. It's style over quality.
Yeah.
It is.
And from reading some of the stuff on IMDb, it didn't seem like the director had an actual Bible made for this character. Of this is the rules for this character, because people said, well, what if you're wearing a condom or you're with a woman? And he's like, oh, wouldn't help you. And it's like, you're just coming up with that right now. Yeah, you just said that right now.
According to what I saw on IMDb.
You piece of shit.
Wait, was the director answering questions, or are you talking about the trivia part?
It's just the trivia part. It seems like someone asked them the question.
And that's the worst for me. Well,
the director said they didn't care to think about where it came from or what its limitations were. Because it was all symbolism. What it was supposed to symbolize... the idea of your mortality always looming.
And that's the problem. If you're going to make a horror movie, even if you're doing symbolism, you need to make sure your symbolism works. Like you actually have to think about your symbols. You don't just go, well, this represents that, and that's it.
I mean, there still has to be some kind of logic. Yeah.
If you don't have
things, need rules. They need a set of boundaries to where it can go, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that's like anything, though.
Going back to The Shining, there is a shitload of symbolism in that movie.
Yeah.
But it's not like Kubrick was just like...
Like how black people are magical and can always find a way to get murdered by an axe.
That's Hong Kong
Kui. I was just going to say.
That's symbolic of Hong Kong
Kui. It's also Kui. Jazz.
The you say Hong Kong
Kui? That was Virgil, according to someone who liked wrestling.
Also the Scat Man.
Scat Man Crothers is Hong Kong Kui. Yeah. Quicker than the human eye.
Number one super guy.
You do need consistency, especially if you're going to do symbolism. And that's, I find a lot of horror movies that try to do the style over substance is that they just say, well, this means this. And it's like, but why does it mean that? You can't just simply say.
And another really good example of how you do symbolism right, like, and also have logic matter.
Yeah.
Is. Listening we go to back to last week.
The Babadook.
I mean, there's so much, and we don't want to go too far into it because of Joey.
Yeah.
He still hasn't seen it.
Because Joey's Asian.
Yes.
But there's so much symbolism of what the Babadook is. I know. Of what the Babadook is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's rules set about,
yeah.
and it adheres to it.
Yeah, yeah, like I can see how this represents, like teenage sexuality. I can see how it represents like STDs.
The funny thing is, I think that other people have seen that in this, and yeah. I don't think the director was seeing that.
So, okay, but to me, that's ridiculous.
You think that's been just like applied onto it after the fact? Then,
well, because the director says it came to him. It was like a dream he used to have when he was a kid. About like being followed and
by a 7-foot-7 man.
Yeah, recurring like nightmare about being like followed and like I don't know if he ends up dead or whatever, but it had nothing to do with sexuality. Obviously, he was like a young kid at the time.
Oh wow! So that's just him.
And like what you just said, I think where he said it was about mortality and
why
stuff.
Why spread it through sex then? Why not like through affection? Why
because horror and sex go together. Boobies.
I mean, it just seems lazy.
There weren't really many boobies.
How are you
going
to do affection? Like the monster hugs you?
No, like you care about it. The more affection and love you show a person, then it affects. I don't fucking know. I don't write horror movies.
Obviously.
You want it to be a Nelson song. I just want your love and affection.
Oh shit.
Nelson.
But I will say it is. It's also, it's interesting, at least, that it plays with the trope of what sex does to you in a horror film. Like, in the sense that, yeah, sure, fucking means you're doomed, but if you keep fucking, it keeps you alive.
I
know I'm saying fucking a lot.
These are the same exact rules from Final Destination.
Yeah.
They're the exact same rules from Final Destination.
Except Final Destination was awesome. And I love Final Destination.
I like the first one.
I'll super kick all of you. I love Final Destination.
I enjoy.
I don't think you lift your leg up that high. But yeah, no.
I could try.
No, it's the same rules though. It's essentially when it bypasses you, it has to get to the next person. When that person dies, it goes back to you.
Yeah. Oh, it does. Okay. You know, I did enjoy the first one when I saw it. And
the only thing I don't like about Final Destination is when the rules change automatically. And then, it came back somehow, and it gets. Let's see. Okay.
I mean, when people watch those movies for the kills, essentially.
No. There's nothing scary about those movies.
But this movie doesn't have that. This movie doesn't have.
I was more terrified when I almost fell back in my chair 5 minutes ago than I was from watching.
That was only like 2 minutes ago, or like a minute ago.
Yeah, it wasn't that long.
Yeah. No.
Can I say that is one of the scariest.
Him almost falling back?
Anyone falling back.
Oh, in general.
It is.
Anyone but yourself.
Moment. And then you look around like, did anyone see that? Like, oh my God.
But yeah, I mean, there are so many problems with this movie. It's a nice looking movie. It's a movie that you'd have to watch on mute, I guess.
It's well shot, and some of the scenes are pretty like scary, like the framing and like the color grading and everything. But
like, I'd like to see this guy do something that it's
doesn't
not
suck.
Maybe he didn't write.
Yeah, so, like I think he'd be a better director paired with a good writer.
Yeah,
or even like
and a decent cast.
But then again, like I think James pointed out too. I think some of it may be him not directing the actors properly too.
That
or maybe that's just kind of what he wanted.
He should. I don't know. I don't know. I think he would do well in the realm of like music videos. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like. This seems like a guy who, like...
Good on the visual part.
I'm surprised he's not a music video director.
It looked like a music
video. Well, what I heard about this movie, we heard on a podcast where this one guy who's supposed to be big into horror is like, oh, it's terrifying. It's crazy. But the host was like, I don't get it. It was stupid.
Okay, and going...
But then he ended up being alone. Like, everyone else who saw it would chime in and agree with the horror guy.
So I was kind of excited because I'm like, going to love this movie.
Going to that point, though, I think this has become one of those movies in current horror, at least in the current horror community, that you have to like.
It's Halloween.
It's like the Napalm Death of modern horror.
It's like the Napalm Death of modern horror.
I said Halloween. Is that applicable too?
I mean, no, because for the time it came out, that movie actually was a game changer. It actually was.
All right.
Halloween?
At least at the time it came out.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Napalm Death, the One Life crew of game changers. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
But yeah, I mean, and I think that
no one else does either.
Our little sister saw it. James and I's little sister saw it.
I was confused because you looked at me and said that.
Jim.
No, I mean, I'm not confused because you call me James.
our little sister saw it and she said she loved it, which was
doesn't she?
Wait, saw Halloween?
No, this movie.
Oh, this movie.
She follows. She has a friend who loves horror movies, but also he loves the horror movies that you're supposed to like. And there are horror movies you're supposed to like at the moment.
I don't know what that
means. Like this movie, it's one of those where if you don't like it, you're just going against the crowd.
What are the other ones you're supposed to like?
Oh my god, we were talking about earlier that Australian one, Lake Mungo.
Lake Mungo, yeah.
Lake Mungo is another one. It's an Australian found footage.
That's an offensive name.
That's what I'm hearing. Yeah.
That's another.
Yeah, Mungo is like a, what is it?
Is it Mongo like a
Mongo?
No, like, no, no, no.
It's Blazing Saddles
in
Mongo.
The summertime.
Lake Mongo. No,
Mungo, just pawn Jerry. In chess game of life.
Mongo Jerry.
Yes. Mongo Jerry. But yeah, there are a few that are like that. Where if you don't like them, it's like you're not with it. You're not happening.
You don't follow.
Wait, Mungo is a slang in Fallout.
It is.
Yeah. Fallout 3, at least.
But I don't. It's. I feel that that's what the case with this movie is. Is that horror fans are going to say they like it because they don't want their cred to be lessened or something.
Let my cred be lessened. I do not like this movie.
I just think because it's different from a lot of horror movies.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's better. It's more indie. Doesn't mean it's better. I mean,
yeah.
It hits all those notes of I'm so cool. I like this horror movie that isn't really part of the genre.
Or scary. Or
good. I would rather watch Scream than watch this. And Scream's kind of now, I mean, at the time, yeah, it was indie. But it's one of the most mainstream things you can watch. But
I can't stand that movie.
If you want a throwback horror movie, if you want a throwback horror movie that hits all these beats but does it 10 times better.
I think it's pronounced beats.
House of the Devil by Ty West is probably the movie for you. But again, that movie became too liked that now it's sort of seen as like uncool to like.
Well, this
it.
Is going
to
get on that level too eventually.
Oh, no, eventually it will. Or
stay away from the internet. None of this matters because you don't hear about it.
That's true.
That's true.
Or it'll be another Suspiria. I mean, while I like Suspiria for the visuals, Suspiria is fucking terrible for the story because there is no story in Suspiria, really.
Okay.
Is that the one about the ballet dancer?
Yes, it is. It's the ballet school. Udo Kier's in it.
Can I ask, would you guys recommend this movie to anyone?
No.
No?
Yeah, I would never recommend this movie,
no.
ever.
No.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Like, I don't feel like I hate this movie.
I didn't either.
Yeah. But it's definitely not a movie worth, like, going out of your way to watch, I guess.
Which I thought it would be.
Yeah,
We
literally went out.
I mean, I thought it had potential at first,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so did I. Like, yeah.
We don't, none of us have to recommend it because there's plenty of other people recommending it to other people.
I'm only asking you guys because I trust that you guys will go out of your way to say, hey, this movie was good or this movie wasn't good. I will or will not recommend
it.
I've been told
by so many horror aficionados that I would love this movie.
Yeah, but. Same.
I don't know any horror aficionados.
Aficionados.
I thought it felt like you still had something to add.
Nah.
yeah.
I didn't hate it, but it was nothing special to me.
No.
I have nothing really good to say about this movie besides it looked okay.
The best way to sum it up is that end scene where after the nerdy guy and the girl have sex, they ask each other, well, did that feel like, did you feel anything?
Did it feel different?
Yeah. No.
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 That's
she, her look is my disappointment.
But and it ends as what we talked about, the Babadook, how it didn't end with the typical it's still continuing.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't matter. So this ended with that stupid scene of sequel.
I want the It Follows to just clothesline both of them into the ground.
And they are doing a sequel.
Okay.
Wait, yeah. They really are?
Yeah, yeah. It's on the Wikipedia.
I thought that was a joke.
No, wow. I'm not joking.
It Follows.
Because it cost $2 million to make, and in box office, I think they raked in 18 or close to.
It still follows.
Yeah. So I mean,
It Follows now.
Well, knowing how remakes are, at least it's going to have probably more kills. I mean,
sequels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sequels, yeah.
Yeah.
Knowing how sequels are, it's going to have more kills. It's going to be dumbed down, if you can even do that to this movie. But
I think I'd actually like to see a sequel that had more kills.
Yeah, we'll try.
It Follows a Toque.
I'm glad you're still trying that joke that you tried last week.
What
did you just say?
I said the Baba Toque.
I said, oh, yeah, Travis.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Lord of the Rings.
That's the original.
You fool of a Babadook.
Because he said the Babadook 2 would be called the Baba Toque. So I said the Baba Fool of a Toque would be the third one.
And then we all stared at him because he deserved to be shunned.
See, I mean, that's our general.
It was solid. I don't care.
That's our general feelings on this movie. So before we close out, I'd like to ask you guys each something that It's just a, it's like a fun way to end this.
In the butt.
No.
Oh.
So there's this, it's horror related. So it's about you picking your horror spirit animal, but you have four options, essentially. Yeah, it's a weird thing.
He's so pissed off about having to do a spirit animal bit.
It's yeah, it
because of Twitter.
This happens on Tumblr. It's a thing. So, are you a Morticia Adams? Are you what's the Munsters? What's the Y from the Lily? Are you a Lily Munster? Are you a Vampira or are you an Elvira?
So I'm getting fucked by all... Wait.
No. Are you any of
like,
these?
Like, which one represents your soul and personality?
Wait, who's the one that gets fucked by Roko? Not Ron. Who goes...
It's Lily Monster.
That's Lily.
I would like to be her if I get to listen to to that man talking.
So is that what we're supposed to do? Like... Well, this lady gets fucked by this guy, so I won't be that lady.
It's not about getting fucked.
No, it's your spirit animal.
Are we all getting the same choices?
No, you choose who you like.
No, but I mean, like,
we get the four to choose.
It's not like you've got a different four for each of us.
No, just choose who you think embodies you.
I'm Elvira because I got rocking cans.
That's true.
I do see a rock star can right there, so
he has nice man boobs.
Yeah.
All
right. Voluptuous.
I guess I would go with Vampira just because of the Misfits song, to be honest.
Mm.
All right.
And you get to marry Vampiro too, so.
No, I don't think that actually happened.
Okay.
What about you?
Oh, me? Well, like I said,
just because
I got to hear that voice.
Judd Crandall gets to have sex with you.
Got.
He didn't talk like that while he was hurting.
I don't care. Ago. That's the voice I want to hear.
He talked like a big dummy. All
right. Well, realistically
I don't know what I just did. I'm sorry, guys.
I guess Morticia. She seems all right. She seems cool. Like, cause, I mean,
so French turns you on if Gomez comes up to you and is all like
French.
Which Morticia?
Wait, the movies? Because I didn't watch the show.
I don't know.
I didn't watch the show.
And then Joey.
I think Morticia just because she's kind of calm and laid back.
Yeah.
That's kind of my, and I'm giving a real answer.
She's taking this seriously.
I took it seriously.
I'm giving a real answer.
I did too because I mean. Out of
all I said, I want to hear that voice. That's all I want to hear.
So horror wise, because Vampire is also
Vampire.
Vampira, she's also
Vampira. It's a Moonspell song.
Yeah. See, yeah.
Vampiria. Really,
she's also the only actual like serious horror person. All the rest of them are tongue in cheek.
Yeah,
that's true.
Campy ones, but
that's why I didn't pick her because she didn't seem fun.
She seems fun. I would pick her if we were asking a different question.
Yeah. I also.
Oh yeah. Well,
I mean, Elvira would be number one if we're talking about which one boobies we want to fondle.
I thought.
Wait, not really over Vampire.
Would you rather get eggs with because someone needs to go get breakfast in the morning?
I also picked Elvira.
Thank you.
That was the hardest shit I've ever.
God damn it.
That was.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I was trying to go for something. Let's not even roll with it.
You have to be have to be behind the scenes of
edit that
Plane Zero to understand what was happening there.
You have to know.
Eggs? It was a reference to some other podcast where someone didn't get eggs. Let's not get into it right now.
Oh, that's a long way around.
Yeah. Just like Matt Smith. The long way around.
What are you doing?
We're going deeper.
I hate you all. I hate you
going
all.
Going deeper.
Oh, no.
That's the it talking. Right
you've there. Dug yourself into a hole.
I know. I hate you all.
Yeah.
Who Travis would you be, still Aaron? Finish his Elvira thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Finish your Elvira.
What?
Travis was going to say something.
Oh, no. I was just... I was partially doing it to kind of ship Alejandro.
I know it was.
But also... But no. No, I was also going to say because Elvira is the one like who's got an appreciation of other horror films like based on like
favorite part about this is I did it seriously and now everyone is pretending that they did it seriously and they're justifying.
I did mine seriously.
No, you didn't.
I picked Lord.
What's yours?
Mine would probably be Morticia Adams also.
I picked her seriously. I picked
you picked Lily Munster.
I was joking. Then I picked her because I said she's chill.
That makes sense.
No, you didn't.
He did.
Oh, so you did say that.
He didn't switch gears. Yeah.
It's literally he did a joke first. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, then he took it seriously.
Yeah. I
took it seriously from the fucking get-go.
Get-go.
I'm choosing original Morticia, though. I
Ooh.
No. I find her more patient and she has her little quirks and everything.
Original to what?
The show. TV show.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
No, I'm talking
he
about...
He took the movie
people
one.
People alternate I between the movie. The movie one and...
I said the movie.
Angelica Houston's not good.
Okay, so this is our Doctor Who Talkback segment. Mm-hmm. Joined again by Plane Zero...
Founder.
Emperor.
King. Oh!
There he is. I'm here again.
Who are you?
Travis.
Yeah.
Alright.
You just heard him talking back with a...
That awesome movie that we all loved.
It Follows, so...
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I haven't gone anywhere. I don't know why you had to reintroduce me. Here's the obligatory... What? Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. Spoilers, yeah, again.
If you are a Doctor Who fan, please...
That's the exact moment I know that Jim, who's under the table, exploded.
Yeah.
Knows how to turn off the episode as soon as he hears that.
Yeah, so, okay, so this week we're going to take a look at Before the Flood and a little bit of Under the Lake. The basic premise is the Doctor and Clara go to this underwater base. There's some spooky shenanigans of these ghost things.
Not skeletons, just ghosts.
Yeah, they're like ghost things. And they start to kill off people one by one. So they have to figure out, what are these things? What's this mysterious spaceship? And so that's last week's episode. This week's episode, though, deals with the Doctor going back in time to try to fix things. And so who wants to take it away?
This episode could have easily just been called Paradox.
Yeah.
Because the whole intro kind of sets up exactly what to expect from the episode. It's a scene where he's basically telling a story to you, the viewer.
Yeah.
Essentially, because he's looking right at the camera about a time where he went back to go meet Beethoven and get stuff signed because he's one of his heroes. But then he went there. Beethoven doesn't exist. He's never been there. But because he has with him all of the music notes. And basically he then decides to publish and release them himself, and which begs the question of who actually wrote the music. And it's an abridged version of the story. And he also goes in to say this actually didn't happen. It's just an example. But
yeah, it's a little witty thing he does to describe the bootstrap paradox.
Yeah, paradox. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it was pretty cool to have that as the intro, which leads into the. The news. It's just for this episode.
It's just for this episode. The rock version of the theme.
I love that. I said that I wanted that to be the theme.
I mean, I wouldn't mind.
I wouldn't mind either, but because it's not like so noticeably different either.
Yeah, because you wanted a new intro for this season. Right?
I thought we were getting a new intro. There were talks of that, but
like music.
Yeah, like they're gonna change it a little bit, change it up, but. I mean, if they continue with this, that would be awesome, but they probably won't.
And it is possible that they were just waiting for this episode to do it, too.
Or, yeah, that could be the case.
Because, I mean, the way it leads into it, too, because he picks up the guitar and starts playing Beethoven's Fifth.
And it goes really well. It goes well with his Doctor, so yeah. I wouldn't mind that. But, yeah, so this episode feels... It's less haunted house, like, creepy... It's not spooky.
Yeah.
But
that's okay.
But there are scarier images because for some reason I was watching this with my brother-in-law and my sister was in the room too, of course. My youngest nephew came in and he was like he did not like the look of the Fisher.
The Fisher King?
The Fisher King.
Well, he's creepy looking.
He had to basically my brother-in-law then had to cover his eyes every time the Fisher King showed up on the screen. Every time Slipknot showed up on the screen.
Yeah, so Fisher King was at least his guttural sounds were voiced by Corey Taylor.
Yes.
And then he spoke like an English dude when he talked.
Oh, okay.
But
I thought that was an actual like voice actor.
I don't know.
That was pretty good.
The actual speaking might have been, but the actual growls and snarls and all
Taylor.
That was Corey Taylor.
Okay.
Slipknot.
So that's my confusion then.
But yeah,
I thought whoever voiced the King, Fisher King, did a really good job.
Yeah, well, I mean, he gives like that speech, but there's like a back and forth at the end. And I love seeing Capaldi's back and forths with characters.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I think that's one of the best things about his Doctor, at least, is he's really good at back and forth banter.
Yes.
Is that a new race? Like a new...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a new race.
All right.
A lot of people thought it was like an update of the Vervoids.
Oh, that was Pete Serafinowicz.
Oh, it was Sarah Fenwick. Oh, that's who it was? Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, and that was a really good, because he's a good voice actor. Because
he's a decent voice actor. Yeah, he is. I like seeing him on the screen, but I don't mind hearing his voice either.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's Darth Maul. He's the voice of Darth Maul.
There he is.
But yeah, that monster, a lot of people thought it was going to be an update of the Vervoids, which were a classic bad guy, which looked like penises combined with vaginas mixed in cabbage.
And you have gone on record to tell me that they will never show up in Doctor Who again.
Unless they're completely overhauled. That's why people thought, like...
I feel like you've shown me pictures, but now I have to see
pictures. Yeah, they have a weird penis head with, like, a vagina mouth. It's weird.
So it's like something out of a Gwar concert.
Yeah. They look like, mixed with Cabbage Patch Kids. Very bizarre.
That's awesome.
That is awesome, but
but yeah. So this episode, it not a lot happened, but because it's a pretty simple plot.
Yeah.
But, no, it's when you combine the last episode and this one, it creates a very just. It's almost like a light, not horror movie, but like a light like time travel science fiction romp. It's like it's.
I went into great detail last week about how amazing I thought this episode. No, I didn't. I thought this episode was a lot better actually compared to the other one.
Well, because the other one, like as we said,
it was good. Don't get me wrong.
What we said last week was the last one was it was more atmospheric.
Yeah,
it was more based on tension. It was more based on just like
it was a setup. It was a lot of setting this up. It was a lot of getting us to know some of these other side characters who were really only going to have these two episodes to spend with.
Which was pretty great. That's why I like that they're doing these two parts. Yeah. You're actually getting invested in these characters.
Yeah. Yes. I actually did say last week that I don't normally care about Doctor Who characters that show up because
they don't have time to build them up.
Yeah, or they end up getting killed off within like 20 minutes.
And also, like, you get no emotional payoff.
Yeah, but then it's like, okay, I don't give a
because
shit.
Because you had a whole episode just like...
Just to get used to these guys, I felt bad when the Irish girl got killed off.
Yeah, a lot of people felt bad about that.
Yeah, and I was like,
There's this...
They hate it when you kill off an in-show fan of the character.
You know what? I said to you, I don't like Doctor Who fans.
No, we went over this last week,
Yeah. I actually ended up liking the fact that she was freaking out the fact that it was bigger on the inside. You know, all these things.
But
you know,
it wasn't in front of him, and it was like...
Yeah, I like that.
But she at least dropped in front of him a reference to one thing that we should pay... That I imagine we're going to have to pay attention to.
Oh.
And another thing that already did happen, which is she made the reference to Saxon.
Yes.
Which was the master in Series 3.
Yes.
But she also made a reference to something called the War Minister.
Yes.
And he didn't know what she was talking about, but said it might be something
So
I have a feeling that can play into things.
I didn't pick up on that. That's interesting.
That was a quick little thing that happened.
Yeah, she did also mention
Task Companions.
Rose, Martha.
And Amy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Based Martha for me, because I love Martha.
Yeah, it was a very light episode in terms of just, they just go back in time, and then he goes back in time again, and so you get that classic, like, Back to the Future 2 thing where he sees himself.
Yeah.
And that girl we were talking about, spoiler alert, she dies. It was kind of a bummer because there were rumblings of people saying, like...
That could be a new
were set, or something. And like that. This happens every
There's
time.
There's always speculation, like, because everyone thought also Danny Pink was going to be a new companion to take the place of
that
Clara.
That girl from the Christmas special, too.
The girl from the Christmas special, also...
Which could still happen.
The girl from the Christmas special, and also the... There was another character who they thought... what was the hotel episode?
Oh, the one from Matt Smith era? Where they're all being shown their fears inside the hotel.
Also
or something.
Written by the same guy.
Which had the same alien thing.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They thought she was going to be a companion also.
Yeah.
It's just this basic thing. If he meets with people that are humans, maybe this is setting up a new companion.
Yeah, I'm drawing... Toby Whithouse...
Has that actually happened in Doctor Who?
Oh,
so...
Well, the closest is Donna Noble, who showed up in one special, but she couldn't be on the show that season or that series.
Well, she wasn't supposed to be a companion initially.
Oh, she never was? It's just they loved her so much.
Yeah, and then they brought her
but
back.
But that's one of the few times that it's happened where they've had him meet with a character,
so,
have another companion, then go back to that
so
other
there's
person.
So there's not a lot of precedence for this.
No, it's in Classic Who that wasn't a thing.
Okay.
Like, companions were introduced just in an episode, and it was just like...
Oh, that's my companion.
I'm going with you, Doctor.
Okay. All right.
But... Yeah, I mean, Toby Whithouse writes likable side characters, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing to say. I mean, the deaf girl and her interpreter guy, like, I love the ending with them like getting together and everything. Yeah.
Which is weird because normally I don't like people just randomly pairing off. Like,
but it wasn't random too. Because
no, it wasn't random.
And the way they were in the first episode, you're like, they're either a couple or they're gonna. It's like you kind of and you get invested. You ship as you kids say.
Yeah.
You ship them.
Thank you. I didn't, but I appreciate people that did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool. I didn't mind it. Yeah.
The doctor did what the doctor does. He saved the day, but he didn't alter time really.
Yeah.
Like, that was the big thing, was like...
That was awesome, by the way. That reminded me of Matt Smith being in that Pandorica thing.
Yeah,
But I actually gave a shit this time.
Well, also, I didn't think he was going to be in there.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell is
that
this
was,
thing?
No, that was awesome.
And then it's like, oh, he's been hibernating for years. He was always in there. But yeah, there's this big point in the episode where it's like, you can change time, you could do this, you're the doctor, you could do this. And he keeps saying, I can't do that.
Yes.
And he doesn't. He actually, there's no ass pull or anything like that. It's he time stays the way it does.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it very cleverly, and the ghost, his ghost, he isn't really dead. It's a hologram,
which we got introduced to in the first part of the episode anyways.
Yeah.
With Clara tricking the ghost into getting caught in the Faraday cage.
Cuz I was thinking, like, how the fuck are they going to, the doctor not going to get himself killed? And it's like, I mean, it was
a solid episode.
There's not much to say because it's like, it was a very simple premise. It was
and you get these character beats. That's what I like out of them. Yeah, it may not be a huge story that affects the grand scheme of things, but
that
you get
we know
nice
so far
character beats with some of the characters, such as like in last week's episode, the doctor with the cards. This week, Clara kind of helping the one guy who lost his wife or just his girlfriend?
His girlfriend.
Yeah, helping him kind of move forward, because it was just kind of seeing, oh, she's pulling from losing Danny from last series. So you do get these nice little character beats and see how things kind of affect the whole for them as a people. But it's not a big grand scale situation.
And that's what I'm... Whoa, I just had a weird deja vu feeling right now.
Oh, that's scary.
That is scary when that happens.
It's
if
fun.
If this were a Doctor Who episode, that would be you'd be a companion now or something, or he would come in and say,
but yeah,
your deja vu.
I think
a
it's
thing.
Safe to say.
It was a solid episode.
I enjoyed
it.
Yeah.
It was great
as a two-parter. So as a finished product.
So
Here's the thing. I'm hard torn because I feel like I need to be a little bit critical. I can't give every episode like a fantastic thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I really like this, and I'm not gonna. I don't want people to think because I'm giving it maybe like a 3.5 or
that you hated it.
No,
that I'm giving it a 3.5 that I hate it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, but it doesn't. I mean, there's certain things that to me make up a great Who story.
Yeah, it's,
and a lot of times I need the big spectacle to give.
Yeah.
Like, special episodes can only get like a 4.5 or a 5.
Yeah.
Such
and,
as the
and
the premiere, which
the season opener. Yeah.
Normally,
yeah,
I wouldn't even give an opener a 5.
But it was that strong.
But it was amazing.
Yeah.
And so when I'm giving this like a 3.5, which translates to a 7, which is still,
that's not bad,
strong.
Yeah.
Still very strong. It's not to say that I didn't enjoy it.
It's just that the stakes weren't super high like
it was,
last
yes.
Last season.
Yes, the Filet Mignon was not as high as it could have been. So basically, but I still really enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm with you there.
And I liked the episode a lot.
Yeah, like, I'm debating whether I want to give it a 3 or 4, maybe a 3.5.
Yeah,
that's where I'm leaning.
I would leave it at a 3.5.
Yeah.
It was a solid episode. It didn't do a ton for me like the last two did.
The best part of it is the whole utilization of the bootstrap paradox.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it was like, oh, wow, it's cool. They use, like, cool time travel stuff in Doctor Who.
Yeah, that was my initial...
That was neat.
...thing about Doctor Who, is that, like, why couldn't he just, you know, just go back and
I
just
haven't been
literally
wowed.
Shit.
I haven't been wowed by time travel in the show for a while. Because like, it's... They usually utilize simple time travel stuff, but this is the first time in a long time where we've had, like, oh, shit, they really use, like, time travel to, like, pull everything off.
And I do like that he actually has rules that he sets for himself.
Well, he has to. It's
I know. And that makes the show more interesting for me.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about being human. I'm a robot.
It's pronounced robot.
But I actually like this two-parter.
Yeah, had this been a one-parter,
It probably wouldn't have worked as
it,
well.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been as strong. Like, yeah. it would just be,
which is weird, because I was thinking to myself, like, do I need this?
We would have gotten 5 to 10 minutes of that first episode. It would have been condensed to 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it would mostly have been this episode. And so you wouldn't have gotten, like, a lot of payoff, I feel.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no,
I wouldn't have gotten that awesome scene where that guy's holding up a chair to hurt people. So there you go.
Yeah. So, 3.5.
Yeah, 3.5.
Three and a half is not bad.
Yeah, so
don't get that.
Okay, so I guess we'll see you guys, or you'll hear us next week for the girl who died and the woman who lived.
Oh, okay.
The following week.
Starring Maisie Williams, yes, as this unrevealed character.
Arya Stark.
And there's Vikings. Techno Vikings even.
Ooh.
So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hear us next week.
Yeah, so here's our closer.
Woo.
No, I mean, here's our closer to the podcast. No, you don't need that. Why are you doing that?
Because it's not on the show anymore.
Stop.
It's not on the show anymore.
All right, so here's our
rest in peace, Middle Eight.
All right, so here's our next segment. So, there you go.
Are we going to lay it down? We rolling?
So join us next week. I guess.
Wait, what was your ending?
I told you.
Morticia.
You
said Morticia.
No, the
Rockwell. Someone's watching
oh.
you?
Oh, wait, there was something special.
Was it Rockwell?
You looked.
I did not look. I swear to God. I swear to the fucking gods. I swear. I did not look.
Look at that smile.
I promise. I did not look.
Oh, you totally
It's
looked.
Obviously fucking Rockwell. What? Someone's watching
How is
me.
That obvious?
I had no idea what the fuck
comment. Read the comment again.
I thought you were doing like a Friday the 13th song.
I've got a friend. His name is Jason, and his girlfriend has on 8 security cameras.
So that somebody's watching me.
But like...
Because the last song that you picked during this month was a Misfits song, so it had to have been related
Jason
to
Rockwell.
Halloween. That song has horror elements in it, therefore that had to have been it.
I don't think you should do this with them anymore.
I think you just saw my screen.
No, I did not
no,
see
it,
your screen. Aaron,
you just play a different song at the end and make it seem like it was for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're listening to...
Oh, he's so defeated. Look at him.
This is the first time I've lost. I did not cheat. I swear to fucking everything.
There's going to be an asterisk next to your
No,
your
I
name.
Did it right.
Asterisk.
I can't even read that far away.
I wonder Wait,
who's
you
watching me now.
I would have it like this.
Yeah.
Well, don't hold it like that then.
Boo.
Yes.
This is Rockwell with Somebody's Watching Me.
Yeah.
Yep.
I
seriously
didn't
Someone's watching me!
That song?
Dario 2 is more attractive than Dario 1.
No. Wait, yes.
No.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, Dario 2. Yeah, Dario 2.
We're all in the safe house here.
Eventually.
Oh, okay.
So, no. I stand with Dario 2.
I mean, yeah, anyone stands with Dario 2.
Anyone who likes erect penises would stand with Dario 2.
Like, wait, on themselves or in someone else?
Both.
Like,
on
you like
else.
Someone else's erect penis or your own?
Around cheeks. Both. I'm talking foreheads. Both.